Mind you, I'm Susan Arnold with the Appalachian Mountain Club. I think most of you are probably familiar with us, but we are a regional organization with 12 chapters from Maine to Maryland, 100,000 supporters and members. A lot of people know us because we run the huts in the White Mountains, and we have a lot of other facilities around, including Cardigan Lodge in nearby Alexandria. So if we could get the PowerPoint up 1 minute. I'm actually want to just step back a little bit once we get the first slide up and sort of look at the bigger picture, because particularly in this area, Northern Pass is not the only piece of energy infrastructure that you are looking at in terms of concerns for what the region looks like. See what we had it up earlier. I know it works. What? No, I don't need the pointer. Thanks. Technical challenges always. Well, I guess what I'll just start to say then is my first slide is just sort of thinking about the cumulative impact of a lot of different projects, from Northern Pass to multiple wind energy projects that have been proposed. Sort of what is it we want New Hampshire to look like? And getting to the point that Senator Forrester made early on of, you know, do we have a plan? At this point, we don't. Happily, there is a process underway and a bill, SB 191, that's been enacted to try to create a plan for the development of energy and energy infrastructure in New Hampshire. At this moment, we don't, and that's why we have projects like Northern Pass, why we have projects such as multiple wind power projects coming, you know, to be proposed. So just, as I said, the sort of question is, what do we want New Hampshire to look like in the future? And these are obviously a couple of images to bear in mind as I talk tonight. Next slide, please. So the wind farms, I realize we're here to talk about Northern Pass, but because we're here and I know so many of you also care about this, we wanted to point out kind of what's coming down the pike there as well very quickly with these wind power projects with turbines 500 feet and growing are going to have a very big impact on the landscape as well. So not only do we have the 135-165-foot towers from Northern Pass, but the potential for a lot of other wind towers as well. And you can just see that those are circles of sort of visual impact. And what these things start to do is really literally pile up, and you have a real cumulative impact. Next slide, please. So similar to Will's slide, this is the current proposed route for Northern Pass. Those blue arrows are sort of the new route up north. But I think, unfortunately, there's been a lot of hype out there talking about their new proposal and the new route. The only thing that's new is 40 miles. The other 140 miles is pretty much exactly the same as it's always been. And it's unfortunately impacting all of the same resources that many of us have been worried about for many years. Next slide, please. Okay, so I'm sorry, I thought it was another slide. We've done a visual impact back in 2012 based on the lower sort of 130 miles of route that was then known. And since then, we've taken a look at the revised application, and we're in the throes, literally, of redoing that visual impact assessment, digitizing the locations of all the towers, doing a GIS viewshed analysis, going out in the field to do it. But again, the bottom line is though we now have more information, we're going to be able to do a more specific job of that visual impact assessment. The fact of the matter is it's still going to affect tens of thousands of acres in New Hampshire, and we're still going to see impacts in the White Mountain National Forest, the Appalachian National Scenic Trail, scenic byways of the state, and rivers, et cetera. So next slide, please. AMC does use a, this is, don't worry about trying to read it, but just People, I should not say people, I should say Northern Pass has questioned the methodology that AMC used in our first visual impact assessment. We are using the methodology that is used by most federal land management agencies, from BLM to the Forests Service to the National Park System. It's a very validated approach to trying to assess what impacts are on the landscape. Next slide, please. So how many towers are we talking about here? Well, the grand total of new towers, and remember, this is going to be co-located, particularly in this region, with the existing AC line. So you're going to have two sets of poles and lines and towers. But just the new towers are 1,566. And this sort of goes through what we're talking about and where. In the new corridor, we're going to have 286 new towers, 961 new towers from Dummer to Franklin, that's in this region here, and another 319 from Franklin to Deerfield. Various styles of poles, from monopoles to steel lattice to H-frame. It's funny, if you can all Google all of those things and find them on Google, but the next slide, I think, has a graph showing, again, how the heights of these towers and how many. It's pretty overwhelming, this, again, the scale. I'm just trying to get across the scale here of what this project is proposing to build in the existing rights of way. Next slide, please. The natural resources that are going to be impacted, as I mentioned, are both of national, regional, state, and of course local scenic resources. And our visual impact study looks at those resources, and we're going to try to map them out and map them out with buffer zones. Those are sort of pictures of what we did in our earlier study, which is available on our website if you want to take a look. And I have a paper back there that has our website on it, but it's www.outdoors.org. Next slide, please. Another point that I think is particularly apropos here in New Hampton is talking a little bit about what's going to be happening right along I-93, which is, as you all know, really sort of the gateway for the tourism industry in New Hampshire heading north as people come up 93. And Northern Pass will cross, the current right-of-way crosses Route 93 six times and travels in parallel about eight times. And what you see now are pictures, what you see up here are pictures of you know, what it looks like currently with primarily wooden poles, a right-of-way of a certain width that is narrower than the full right-of-way that they have access to. And what's going to change really dramatically in this picture is both the width of the rights-of-way and the size and, of course, material of the towers, which will be steel and glinting on a nice sunny day. So, again, a real change in the aesthetic as people are coming up to the White Mountains or north or further north or to the Lakes District. And what is it we really want people to be thinking, and what are people thinking they're going to be seeing as they drive here to New Hampshire? Next slide, please. In the White Mountain National Forest, something sort of analogous, we currently have the right-of-way, about 10 miles that they want to use, and it has wooden poles that are approximately 60, 70 feet tall, usually well within the height of the forest canopy, and they're going to replace them with much taller 85-foot steel lattice towers, again, right through the White Mountain National Forest. So another example of those poles are going to be visible from any number of viewpoints from along the Appalachian Trail and all kinds of other high points around. Again, our visual impact assessment is going to try to identify those points, and as we submit this to the Department of Energy as part of our scoping comments, we will be requesting that their visual impact analysis as part of the EIS actually use very specific viewpoints to do that analysis from, because one of the most woefully poor aspects of the Northern Pass application, and there are many poor aspects of that application, has been what they've tried to do with their visuals and tried to say, oh, this is what it's going to look like. And I won't go into the tactics like doing it, you know, in the evening when the shadows are falling and things like that. But those are the kinds of pictures that they have used and put up on their website as saying, this is what this is going to look like. Next slide, please. Is there a reasonable alternative to a landscape filled with towers? And we would argue very strongly, yes, there is. And you heard a little bit about this earlier from the senator. Next slide, please. But there are a number of projects happening in states here in New England, from our neighbor to our east in Maine, which is what this project is, the Northeast Energy Link, to one in New York State known as the Champlain-Hudson Express, that actually is also both an elective, you know, a merchant line, a private thing that's going in. And it started as an overhead project as well, carrying Hydro-Quebec, or carrying hydropower from Canada to New York City. But in the process of that permitting process in New York, it is now completely underground, and we're doing some really interesting comparisons about how much of that undergrounding is terrestrial versus underwater, and how does that sort of match up with what Northern Pass is saying is impossible. So that's going to be another place where we focus some time and energy. Next slide, please. Finally, again, this isn't exactly about visual impacts, but it suffice it to say that we're very concerned about the out of sight, out of mind part of the impacts of this project in Canada. The scale of hydro that is done by Hydro-Quebec is really quite mind-boggling. So to claim that it is green in terms of what it is doing in manipulating the environment and diverting rivers and flooding forests, we think if you're going to say that, if you're going to call that the power that's being brought down here green, you need to look at the impacts that are happening in Canada. Next slide, please. So this is actually my last slide, and again, I have it on the handout up there, but just to give you a sense of the scale of the impoundments, those are the reservoirs that are created by by Hydro-Quebec Power to create 1,200 megawatts of power, which, as you know, is what they're planning to bring down the line. You'd have to have a reservoir that's equivalent to flooding New Hampshire's largest town, Pittsburgh, all of the land, all around it. And when you do this, the other irony here is that when you do that kind of flooding of forest, you have releases of methane as well as mercury because of the rotting that's going to be happening of the trees, et cetera. So there's a lot of issues around the kind of hydropower here, and another big myth that we have worked hard to try to argue against is that this power is green. It is not. And it would not be permitted in the United States if anyone was to build these kind of projects here in the United States. It wouldn't happen. Our laws wouldn't allow it. So that's what I have to say. Thank you. I'll look forward to your questions later.